I want to turn to the second chapter of Galatians. And while I'm doing that, I'd like to keep us reminded of the offering for Irwin and Wanda that we expect to take 2 weeks from today. And that we don't let that get out of our minds. I'm going to turn now to the second chapter of Philippians and read from verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, or men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's reading from verse 5, continuing through verse 11, the second chapter of Philippians. And my text today is the same as it was last Sunday. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learning of the Lord. This passage that I read states the same thing, only in just different words. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's just saying the same thing in a different way. We get in this lesson the story in a few verses of Christ's condescension, his humility, and his obedience, and the reward of that. It's all important, and we need to learn something from the whole overall picture here. Now, Christ was in the form of God, equal with God, actually was God, but he laid that all aside, emptied himself. Our translation says he made himself of no reputation. He made himself that way. He had a glorious reputation there where he came from, but he made himself that way. A man of no reputation. Another translation said he just emptied himself. He just laid aside all of that. And he took on him the form of a servant. Christ did that. And was made in the fashion of men, likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself some more yet and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The import of that story about the cross, we all know. That was for us and for our salvation, our deliverance from sin. And a bunch of other fringe benefits that come in with that. Things which the writer of the Hebrew epistle refers to as things that accompany salvation. They go along with it. They're special privileges of the children of God. But at the cross is where all of that was purchased for you and me. We couldn't buy it for ourselves. We couldn't earn the least blessing from God. Within ourselves, we're not entitled to the very least favor from God. But through Christ and what He did, the finished work of Christ, and our faith in that, we're entitled to the greatest blessings of God. Now we see the effects of this, the results of it. God highly exalted Him, gave Him a name above every name, and that at His name every knee would bow and every tongue confess. That's great honor, isn't it? That's a great reward for laying aside the honor and glory that He had with His Father before the world was. He has more honor now than He had then. He has greater glory now than He did before He came here. He had all heaven honoring Him there, but He has myriads of redeemed souls honoring Him now that He didn't have before He came here. He has power that He didn't have before He came here. It was after He had lived and died and rose again from the dead that He said, "All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth." He has a kingdom now that He didn't have before He came here. And it's a worldwide, universal kingdom, the last one that will ever exist of a universal nature. And He said it would not be left to other people. All the other kingdoms of this world in past history, they've been left to other people. They've come in and conquered them and took them over and reigned in their stead. But this will not be left to other people. The saints of the Most High possess the kingdom, and the saints of the Most High will continue to possess the kingdom on and on and on. And it'll never be subdued. There'll never be anybody taking over. Christ is the King, and He's the King throughout all time. That's the reward of humility. We're told concerning us now, we see this. We see Christ's condescension. We see His humility. We see His meekness. And He tells us in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, says, "I therefore," the first verse, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me." Jesus was lowly and meek in heart. He wants you and me to be lowly and meek in heart. Well, He wants us to be just like Him. Get in there and live with Him. Associate with Him. Participate with Him. And the divine graces that sets Him apart from every other man that ever walked this earth, He wants us to share with Him in those graces and in those attributes. In 2 Corinthians 8, chapter and verse 9, It says, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, how that though he were rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Now he went through all of this to make you and me rich. He was rich, but he wasn't arrogant about it, and he wasn't selfish about it. The rich people of this world, they don't care much about how the poor folks get along. And whether any of them ever get rich or not. But Christ was the richest of the rich. But he wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted you and me rich too. And he was willing to forsake his riches and lay aside his equality with God and his home in heaven and everything and come down here to this world and make a sacrifice like he made, that out of him might flow the essence and the grace that would enrich the lives of millions, and it has enriched the lives of millions throughout this Christian era, and is still enriching the lives of many, many souls today, including people right here in this room. That we through his poverty might be rich. He wanted us rich. But as we look at all this, he wants us to learn something from it. He wants you and me to be of such a disposition and attitude that we'll never be satisfied with just being blessed. We'll want to be a blessing. God said to Abraham, I'll bless you and make you a blessing. And God forbid that any of us would be satisfied just being rich, but we'll want to make other folks rich. We have a text in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. Paul said this. Now, Paul had learned a lot of things, and he said, I have learned. God wants you and me to learn. But as we've already observed, the best way to learn about a person is to get right in there and live with that person. And that's what Christ is inviting you and me to do in this text. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Just get yoked up with him and work with him and live with him. Participate with him. Share with him in all of the attributes and graces that he has to bestow upon us. And as we live with him and watch him live and watch how he meets his problems and watch how he deals with people and how he treats his enemies and his friends and everybody, he wants you and me to learn something from that. Follow the example. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And now note his meekness. When he was reviled, he reviled not again, and when he was persecuted, he threatened not, but just committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And the way things come out, we can be incited to a closer following of the Lord, and we can learn something just by watching him live. Now, Paul had learned something, and you and I have the same teacher Paul had. Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith be content. A lot of us haven't learned that yet, have we? We just haven't learned that yet, a lot of us. But God help us to learn it. And we have the same teacher Paul had. Let's be good pupils, good students. Let's learn like he learned. Now, in this text, 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse, there's some strong things said here. He said, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Folks, there's something offered to you and me here. Paul learned how to rise up out of all of his difficulties and handicaps and rise above them and be a blessing to all mankind. He learned how to do that. Jesus taught him. He was a good student. Jesus is trying to teach you and me some things. Through our watching him live and getting in there and living with him. Paul was a man of great sorrow. He had such sorrow for his own countrymen that he said, I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my kinsmen in the flesh. He saw the deplorable condition that Israel was in through rejecting Christ. And he was in such burden and sorrow for them that he'd have been willing to trade places with them if it had done any good. But that isn't the way we get grace from God. We get grace through having that kind of an attitude, and we get blessings too. Through a disposition of heart that we are willing to make whatever sacrifice is necessary to make in order that the blessings of God might flow out through us. This is an open-ended thing. And it's kept flowing and flowing from Jesus and from Paul, just an open-ended thing. Clear down throughout the generations of mankind from their day till now. And you and I are being blessed by Paul. Paul, I think, suffered more in the flesh than any other man we have any record of outside of Jesus. But he wrote more about rejoicing than anybody else in the Scriptures. He said, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. God help you and me somehow or other that we will learn to rise above those things that would crush us and destroy us and rejoice in the God of our salvation. Amen. Be happy for what God has done for us. Amen. And for our relationship with Him. Amen. Then he said, as poor, yet making many rich. Now, he didn't have anything to make people rich with materially. Sometimes he was hungry. Sometimes he didn't have sufficient clothing. Sometimes he was in need and in distress one way and another. He didn't have the material things to dispense and distribute to people and make them rich. But folks, there's some greater riches than that. And he had something flowing out from him, an essence and a grace flowing out from him that made many lives rich, and it's making mine rich today. And yours too. As poor, yet making many rich. God help you and me to learn how to have something flowing out of us, that we be a channel of God's blessings and God's riches and of God's divine grace flowing out of us. The essences of divine grace manifest in us that will enrich every life that we touch along the way. Every life that you come in contact with and every person that you associate with, that you can leave them something. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And folks, God wants you and me having some of that in us that Jesus had in Him, that will flow out even through adversity and through persecution and rejection, that something might flow out of us that'll prove life to the souls around us. And that when we've gone our way, I read about a missionary that had passed through a certain area and just tarried there a short bit and went on. But the people there knew him, they got acquainted with him, and they saw him. Later on, another missionary came in there and was working in that area and began to teach the folks about Jesus and about His love and His humility and His sacrifice and His interest in them and so on. Said the people's countenance just brightened up. They said, yeah, yeah, we know that man you're talking about. Said he was here a while back. Said he passed through here. That man you're talking about, we saw him. Well, he had done something to them folks. Something had flown out of his very person and essence and a grace that had left an influence on them people and that had impressed them in such a way that when they began to hear about Jesus, oh, they didn't know anything about Jesus or who He was. They said, we know Him. He was here just a while back. He came through here and spent a little time here. We settle too cheap many times. We could be like that. God's no respecter of persons. God's just as able to fill you and me with, to overflowing with His divine essences and virtues and graces flowing out of our lives as a channel as He was that man or Paul or anybody else. Paul wasn't a spiritual superman. If God could get you and me in His hands like He got Paul in His hands, He could do things with us like He did with Paul. There's the secret. We just settle too cheap. And we don't go all out. In 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, verse 16 said that God spoke to Elijah, His prophet, and told him to go down and anoint Elijah for a prophet. So Elijah just passed along down through there and he found Elijah farming over there. And he had 12 yoke of oxen. That would indicate that he had a pretty good layout over there. His estate was a pretty good one. And he was out there plowing with his oxen. Elijah just walked by and cast his mantle over him. He seemed to understand what that meant. He said, let me go and say farewell to my father and my brethren, then I'll follow you. There was something in that. That was a prophet's mantle, and he cast it on Elisha. So Elisha went over there and to his home, and he killed a yoke of his oxen and broke up his plow and made a fire and cooked the flesh, had a feast over there, served the people, said farewell, and he came back to Elijah. But you know, Elijah said to him, he said, let me go and say farewell to my father and my brethren, and I'll come and follow you. And Elijah says, what have I done to you? He'd done something to him. And just how much he had done to him, you just follow the life of Elisha right on through. He did greater miracles than Elijah did. God was with him in a great way, but Elijah says, what have I done to you? God help you and me that we'll have something flowing out of us that every life we touch, it'll do something to them. It'll affect them. What have I done to you? Folks, we ought never to be satisfied to associate with people any time and leave them just like we found them. We ought to do something to them. Something ought to be flowing out from us. Peter said to the lame man at the gate, I don't have silver and gold, but such as I have I give you. He had something to give. Folks, it's important that you and I keep a good hold on God and a good close relationship with Christ, that they'll be continually flowing into us the divine essences and virtues and graces, that it'll just be an open-ended thing. We'll just be a channel, and it can flow right on out through us, and it'll do something to every soul we touch, every life we come in contact with. What have I done to you? But he'd done something. And what he did was a great thing. Well, I don't have time to go into the last part of that verse, but it's important. I want to get something out of that sometime or other. But the clock's going around for now, and so I'll respect that and leave it with us. And I'll say, as the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Amen.